Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here we study the Word and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we've done 21 books of the Bible. If you've not been able to listen to the podcast we've done straight from the book of Genesis, I ask you to please visit our app, Bible In Depth Network, or any app or podcast platform that is Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podbean, Apple Podcast, whichever it is, you'll be able to find this podcast there. And I believe the Lord shall reveal His Word to you because there's no limitation to revelation. God reveals His Word to whoever shows the need. So you can find them there. And you can listen, and the Lord shall indeed bless you. Now, we started yesterday on the book of the Song of Solomon. And it's an interesting book. We looked yesterday. It has very many interpretations. Some find it as a drama. Others find it as Christ and the church. And others, it's just a story of love. It's a book of love, speaking love between two people. And others find it as a poem. So in whichever angle that you find it, we will try to look at it in that angle. But it's literal love between a man and a woman. And this is believed to be Solomon with one of the women that he had. Remember, he had 1,000 wives, 1,000 women. That's 700 wives and 300 concubines. Whichever way he handled that, it's a story to tell. But we looked at two chapters yesterday. I'll continue with chapter 3. It starts, "On my bed by night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not." The bride has a dream. The bride has a wish. The bride believes that the husband has to be there with her. That's what she wants, because she gets into this home, she gets into this marriage, she gets into this relationship, seeking for companionship. But then, at night, she sought, and there was nobody. The man was gone. Yeah? Her dream, her wish, her desire is not being met at this point in time. And how many times does this happen to us in a relationship, in a marriage, and you seek for the one you love, but you don't find him. When they're out there, in the wild, out there in the night, having fun, having parties, and they are not home. It's just like this bride here. And it's key for us to know that companionship is key. Your partner is key. They need your attention. They need your time. They need you to spend time with them. Because they seek you and do not find you. And we may say it's all about the nights, but you need to find time for your family. You need to find time for your partner. You need to find time for the one you love. Or that person you said, "I will love you." Yeah? And this one is experiencing some level of loneliness. And that loneliness can only be sorted out by the person they love. You can give people all things, but they won't sort out loneliness. You can build the biggest house, put everything there, quality furniture, all entertainment, the hugest screen on the market for them to watch movies, put Netflix, put everything. But that will not sort the loneliness, because they search on the bed by night and they seek the one they love and they don't find them. Because companionship is key. You need somebody close to you. You need to know that my person is near me. The person I love is near me. My husband is here. My wife is here. And it doesn't apply to just husbands, that they're the ones who go missing. Sometimes it's wives. And the wife is a party wife. She's never home. Yeah, she's always out there. And they seek for you and they cannot find you. Just like this bride's dream. Yeah, it's not happening because she seeks for the one she loves, but cannot find. What did she decide to do? He says, I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. The watchmen found me as they went about in the city. These people who are keeping the city, yeah? Those who protect the city, yeah? They go out, find this woman moving in every angle, but they do not see why she should be out at night. But she has a craving, she has a longing, and she needs to satisfy it. And that is for the person that she loves. So, she says, the watchmen found me as they went about in the city. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? She's asking them, have you seen this person for me? Scarcely had I passed them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her who conceived me. I adjure you, daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and those of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. We looked at this yesterday. It is that love that caused her to go out seeking this man in the night. Yeah? Because when love has come, you cannot stop it. When love has come, you cannot fight it. So you need to be sure at what point you let go. And for her, luckily she finds the one that she loves. But how many go out and still they do not find this person? Sometimes it's by influence and the friends we have, the company we have, and it brings us and drags us away from the important relationships in our lives. That even when your spouse is looking for you, they cannot find you. They wonder, where did this person disappear? Sometimes it's not even just the physical presence, but emotionally. You can even be in a home and a house and you're just not there. You don't talk. You don't feel. You don't take care of the people that God has entrusted you with. And that is the gap that has to be addressed here. And this woman luckily finds the person that she loves. Verse 6, what is that coming up from the wilderness? Like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the fragrant powders of a merchant. Behold, it's the litter of Solomon. Around it are 60 mighty men, some of the mighty men of Israel, all of them wearing swords and expert in war, each with his own sword at his thigh, against terror by night. King Solomon made himself a carriage from the wood of Lebanon. He made its posts of silver, its back of gold, its seat of purple. Its interior was inlaid with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go out, O daughters of Zion, and look upon King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, on the day of gladness in his heart. Of course, this is more or less Solomon appearing to be arriving for a ceremony, and he comes in glamour, in glory. Yeah, and he admires his bride in chapter 4, says, behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. And he's admiring the bride that he has. We talked about this yesterday. For the fact that you need to admire the person that you have, the person that God has given you. Compliment doesn't kill you to say that someone looks beautiful. Doesn't kill you to say that you look smart. You look good in that dress, in that shirt, in whatever it is. Compliment. That is key for somebody who is in love. It is key for people in a relationship to compliment one another. Yeah? You do it. Because if you don't do it, who do you expect to do it? And your partner will feel like you do not really care. So, Solomon is good at that. Of course, his comparisons are with the items that probably were in their society. He's talking, your eyes are doves. And it can also be in the poetic side or drama side that some see this book in. But for you, you may use these words as doves and goats and sheep while complimenting I hope it goes well for you. But for him, he says, your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, and not among them has lost its young. Your lips are like scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like a tower of David, built in rows of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, I'll go away into the mountain of Myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Now, this is praise. This is complimenting that is done by Solomon towards the bride. Yeah, all the things we've read here are compliments. Now, don't go to the book of Song of Solomon and pick these exact and send them to your wife or your husband or your partner or fiancé. No. Be creative. Find those that apply to you and to that person. Otherwise, calling them a gazelle and a pomegranate may not work very well in your favor. But be creative and find a way. Mention something that makes the other party feel good. Of course, he ends here with saying that there is no flaw in you. Of course, that may be a bit extreme because everyone has an error. Everyone has a flaw. There's nobody who is perfect. The problem that we get is when we think that we are perfect in everything. That for you, you don't wrong, you don't err, you don't have any flaw. And then trouble comes. Everybody has one. Yeah, and when we fight hard, sometimes if it gets to the physical beauty that you don't want to have a flaw, you don't want a scar on your body, you don't want a single pimple on your skin, then you get into extreme measures to get rid of some things in your body. But fact is, everyone has a flaw. It may not be as perfect, but keep the attitude, keep the love for that person that God has brought into your life. Yeah. And says, come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the peak of Amana, from the peak of Senna and Hamon, from the den of lions, from the mountains of leopards. You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. This word, my sister, should not be taken in any manner that this is a blood relation. No. Sometimes they are related. Or rather, they are spoken of in such a manner, but that does not imply its blood relation. It is speech. Just like you can tell, you can call anybody your son. Yeah? It is also possible for them. And it says, you have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine. We looked at this yesterday, that with much wine and the enjoyment it brings and the pleasure it brings into someone's life, when it comes to love, it's much better. The pleasure that love brings, yeah, is better than anything else. Yeah, the pleasure that love brings. And sometimes we say, I don't have love in me. Oh, people took the love out of my life. No, that's not true. You still have it. It's in there, you just need to seek for it, because with love, there is a fulfillment that comes into your life. There is that satisfaction that comes. Yeah, so don't get tired of having that. It is key. It's key for you towards people. It's key for you towards God. If you say you do not have love, then how can you come out and say you love God? If you say you do not love men, how can you come out and say you don't love, that you love God? Because it's the same that you give. It is the same love to which men partake and God partakes. So if you say you don't have it, you lost it, then clearly you're implying that even the one for God himself, you have lost. So it's always key for me to know that love is key. It's better than everything else. Yeah. And the fragrance of your oils than any spice. Your lips drip nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Yeah. And here he's talking about the fragrance. Yeah. The bride is all smart, looking good, dressed well, smells good. Smells good. Key there to note. You need to smell good. Buy a good perfume for your body. You need to shower right. Those are just now things to do with the etiquette and the cleanliness of body. You know, sometimes we don't get people to tell us about hygiene, but good hygiene boosts even love and relationships. This man is talking out of his heart because of the things she feels the bride has accomplished. She smells good. She has good hygiene. That boosts. Sometimes you may quarrel. So why doesn't this person really show me enough attention yet? You need to visit a bathroom often and take care of your hygiene to improve it. Because it is key. He says, the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. A spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with all choicest fruits, henna and nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all choice spices, a garden fountain, a well of living water, and flows streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, let its spices flow. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat his choicest fruits. Now, some of his words are interpreted in all sorts of angles, which we may not get into. But this is just a talk between a man and a woman that love each other. Chapter 5 says, I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I gathered my myrrh with my spice. I ate my honeycomb with my honey. And I drank my wine with my milk. Eat, friends, drink, and be drunk with love. Now, the people who are telling them to enjoy are those who are watching the others. Tell them, guys, enjoy your love. Have fun in your love. Enjoy. It's good to have friends who wish good for you, even in your own relationship. People who wish the best for you, they tell you, enjoy, guys. Eat, drink, be drunk with love. Not those who tell you that is too extreme. Let's give you 3 months and you'll be done. You know, people who have such attitudes. People have gotten married and are happy and excited, and somebody is out there on the table at the wedding, by the way. They're saying, that is just excitement. Let's give them a yeah. They won't be together. What sort of heart is that? And remember, you always reap that which you sow. If you speak negatively about others, it will be the same for you. Yeah? But it's key for you to know that words people say are not what matter. You keep the faith, keep the belief. Trust in the Lord to protect your relationship, protect your marriage. And I know sometimes we are scared of getting into marriage, but marriage is not the problem. It has never been the problem. It's us who get into it and fail to resolve issues and fail to work on issues and fail to work on our attitudes that eventually crush this relationship. And then we come and tag marriage to be the problem. Yet it is me who has to work on myself. Yeah? I have to make sure that I make it work. How? It's the people in the marriage that make it work. Otherwise, the institution in itself has no problem. So believe that it can work. Don't listen to people who have negativity with them. Don't listen to people who tell you, let's give you 1 year, you'll be back home. Who tells you that you'll be back home? Go believe God for the best. Trust the Lord to protect you, to protect your marriage, to give you the right attitude. That's also key. As I'm praying and spending nights in prayer, asking God to come out in my marriage and make it last and give it joy, I also need to tell him to correct my attitude, because I'm the one who makes that marriage. If my attitude is poor and negative, clearly I will also get that negativity sprinkle down into my marriage. So these guys here are wishing good for their friends. They're saying, be well, enjoy, be drunk with love. That's a good thing. Those are the friends we need around us, those that encourage us, not those that bring us down. those that tell us it's going to be good, those that tell us our relationships are going to succeed, not those who try to bring all the gossip, negative, bring the history of a person into, do you know that person and what they did 3 years ago, 5 years ago before you met him? That's not your job. That is not something you need to get into. Let people love one another. We all have a past. And it's not something to be proud of at times. But there's also a future. And people do change at times for the better. So don't always go with your negative vibes towards others. So, the bride continues here. In chapter 2 says, I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I had put off my garment. How could I put it on? I had bathed my feet. How could I sew them? My beloved put his hand to the latch, and my heart was thrilled within me. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh. On the handles of the bolt, I opened to my love, but my love had turned and gone. My soul failed me when he spoke. I sought him, but did not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer. What's happening here? The man has returned home, knocking on the door. But while he's knocking, the bride is still thinking, should I get out of bed? It is too late. I'm already warm. I don't want to get out. I don't want to go open. I'm going to darten my feet as I walk to the door to open. And know all those laxities and thoughts for your own pleasure. You don't know what this man has gone through. The sort of day he's had. The troubles he's gone through. And then you want them to be home in time. And probably they haven't. And the man is knocking at the door saying, open, I need to come in. But you're thinking of your comforts and how much you're going to soil your feet. You're ready in your bed and you're warm. And by the time you get to the door, he's gone. And these are considerations that we place in relationships. Things people go through, and you have to get into a position of understanding. What is this man going through? What is this woman going through that I need to stand with them? Because if you fail to understand some of these seasons and the moments that your spouse goes through, you can lose them. This woman gets to the door, and by the time she opens, he is gone. And she says, I called to him, and I did not find him. He gave no answer because he's gone. At the point that you were supposed to show care and concern, you went and delved, hit yourself into your emotions and your feelings and how angry you are about this person and probably returning late about this person and probably how they've acted in the past. And that gap you take, the laxity you take to consider, causes problems because he's gone. Yeah? So, the watchmen found me as they went about in the city. They beat me, they bruised me, they took out my veil, those watchmen of the walls. This time they did not give her space to continue searching. When they found her, they just beat her up. Why? You didn't act at the right time. And then when you realize you've lost that which is key for you, you start to go out to look for it. When you realize you should have handled that argument that you had early at home with your spouse before you all went out to work, and you took it in the wrong way, and it has come out in bad ending. What is too big that we cannot resolve? What is too tough that you cannot sit down and talk about? What is that thing that you feel you cannot settle with the person that you're in a relationship with? Because it is those small things that eventually cause us trouble, that the person you always prayed for, believed for, loved, can leave your life. And it can be for good. That even when you go out to find them, you don't find them, but rather you find those that are going to beat you like these watchmen did for this woman. At the time she had to act, she didn't. And the man left. And when he left, she went out seeking for this love, only to be beaten, bruised. When you lose the real love, and you find those who are just going to bring you down. Sometimes we lose the most important people in our lives. We lose the love of your life. You lose the person that was key in your life. And you go out there and you find the crooks of this world, those that are just going to break your heart every second. So she didn't open quick enough. This man left. When she went out to seek him out like the first time, she did not find this person. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I'm sick with love. What is your beloved more than another beloved? O most beautiful among women, what is your beloved more than another beloved? That you thus adjure us. The others are asking, what is with this man that you're seeking him and you're telling us to find him for you? It's you who knows the value that you've lost. And they are waiting for you to mention it, that when you've finished speaking about that person, they are ready to go and look for all the good things that you've lost. Verse 10, my beloved is radiant and ruddy, distinguished among 10,000. His head is the finest gold. His locks are wavy, black as raven. His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, bathed in milk, sitting beside a full pool. His cheeks are like beds of spices, mounds of sweet-smelling herbs. His lips are lilies dripping liquid myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with jewels. His body is polished ivory, bedecked with sapphires. His legs are alabaster columns set on bases of gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, and he is altogether desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. She is coming out to speak of all the good things of that are part and parcel of the man she is looking for, the man she has lost. Now she has told the daughters of Jerusalem the secret of that man, the beauty of that man, what makes her get out to look for this man. She's lost the man, and after losing, she's spilling the secrets. And how confident can she be that these daughters of Jerusalem will not just go out and look to have this man for themselves, because you have lost the person that you needed to keep. And sometimes we are going to look at the errors the person makes. You're going to look at the challenges which everybody has, the flaws, and make decisions to ignore that person. But when they are gone, it is you that will lose. When they are gone, it is you that will go to find and seek, and there's no guarantee that you'll bring them back into your life. So do all things to maintain the relationships that God has given you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that you teach us. We pray for our relationships, Lord, that you help them stand strong at all times. Help us be people, Lord, that value relationships, that forgive, that understand one another. And let us always and at all times do the things that honor and please you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.